Oh, it's Monday. We did it again. We got a great Monday show for you. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And second hour, we got a very fine guest. Trent Horn will be here to talk about, to take questions from you. To ask a question of you. Why are you not religious? Why aren't you religious? That's our topic second hour. First hour, just a magnificent guest. First hour, same question. Why aren't you religious? And you're welcome to call 888-318-7884 to let us know why you are not religious. We've done our best to convince you. We've worked hard here. If you're still not religious, we are fascinated to know why. 888-318-7884. And our first hour guest is your name again, sir. I am just drawing a blank right now.
Sigh, we were just discussing this a few minutes ago. Come on, you can think it through.
Ken
rhymes
Ham.
Ken Ham. Were you there when we were having this discussion, Cy? Were you there? Rhymes with, you know, like, not Clark Kent, not Kent, not
oh,
Brent.
Oh, that's right. Trent.
Yes.
Ham. I apologize.
Close enough.
Trent Horn is the author of everything. Well, not everything, but a whole lot of books. Among his books, Answering Atheism might be of interest to you if you are, in fact, not religious because you are atheist. Why We're Catholic, just a fantastic book that is now, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of copies out there or something like that. It's a lot of copies. And I'm not even as exaggerating.
I think it's sold over 150,000 copies so far.
We're coming up on hundreds of thousands.
We're almost there.
And, oh, I never got to tell you this, Trent. We're going to the phones. Don't worry. 888-318-7884. I was at this parish.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman at the parish said, I have to buy the book that we're going to give out to 6,000 people. No, 5,000 people on Easter Sunday. What book do you think I should give out? And I said, well, I have no idea. I can't even imagine what a good book would be to give out on. That's not really what I said. I said,
The Bible.
Have you seen Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic?
That's also a good one.
So at least she told me. They were going to buy 5,000 copies, but I don't know. But I tell you this for two reasons. One, I want you to know that I'm out there in the world recommending your book.
Thank you.
I would like a little cheddar.
I've got some Gouda.
I'd like a little cheddar for my efforts.
A little cheddar.
5,000 copies.
Well, that's great because I think for every 1,000 copies we move, you get a free copy, Cy. So there you...
I should have 150 copies already.
I think I'm somewhere in the back. So, no, Cy. Well, I'm very grateful to hear that. And there have been a fair number of parishes who have purchased Why We're Catholic to offer in bulk to their parishioners. Because really... Before I wrote Why We're Catholic, there hasn't been since a single book that you could give to anyone. I mean, I wrote Why We're Catholic in a voice and a tone and a style for anyone, regardless of their level of faith. They could have no faith at all or belong to another faith or level of education. I mean, really, from high school on up,
you should be able to read. Oh, you don't even have to be able to read now. Because it's on Audible.
It is on Audible. So even if you cannot read, you could get someone Why We're Catholic. And I personally will read the book to them.
Yeah.
And that's available on Audible. But otherwise, you can go to Why We Are Catholic. I think it's whywearecatholic.com. And you can order the book. Yeah, that's right. So you can go to whywearecatholic.com. And if you're interested in a similar bulk purchase, if you want to give this book away to people at your parish or your school or your religious education group, go to whywearecatholic.com. You can get 20 books for $60. So $3 a book. And there's been a lot of fruit that we've seen from people giving this book away at their parishes. People enroll the next fall in RCAA. They come back to the faith. So I'm very blessed to see how the Holy Spirit has worked through this book to help people. And if you'd like to learn more, go to whywearecatholic.com.
If you order in bulk, also maybe put a little note on there. Cy should get some cheddar for this. A little bit of cheddar for Cy.
I really want to get the rest of the staff together, Cy. And you're going to come in next Monday and your office is
full
of Wisconsin goodness from top to bottom.
I do love me some cheese. 888-318-7884.
Well, you know what they say. Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, no. Come on, Trent. Now, come on. You know what I mean by... There's a difference between cheddar cheese and cheddar.
Cheddar.
Cheddar. See, I got now people from are watching rap videos.
Okay, so
hip-hop videos.
Do they say cheddar in hip-hop videos?
If they're talking about money.
I've heard of Benjamins. Heard of Bling.
Don't even try to compete with me in your hip hop knowledge. Okay?
Hip hop?
Yeah.
Hip Hop Anonymous.
888-318-7844
is the
number.
The cheddar is going to be misunderstood, and there's going to be bowls of clam chowder, and all our fans from New England will just send you bowls of chatta. Because you're going cheddar to cheddar to chatta. Now it's going to turn into clam chowder.
Do you think a guy from Boston is going to say no to chowder? I've never said no. I have said no to some chowder that was of the red variety. I don't even know why they call that chowder. Mm. But no, I'm not going to say no to chowder. Okay, so Trent.
Yes.
Why are you not religious is our question today. Yeah. Assistant producer Marie is screening the calls as we speak. Mm-hmm. If you want to get on, there are still lines open, 888-318-7884. But is it harder to believe in God now? Is it harder to be religious than it used to be?
I think so. And one reason that I think it's difficult for people to be religious or to focus on religion is that we live in an age where people are very distracted. Distracted, right.
Got him.
That was good. Religion requires us to think about the things that matter most to us. Who am I? Why am I here? What should I do with my life? What is the good? What happens after death, if anything? And focusing on these big existential questions is something that can be difficult for people to do who are focused more on smaller existential questions, like did people like my post recently on Twitter or Facebook? What are people doing on this social media platform? What's another article or nostalgic video I can watch on YouTube? We live in an age where we're very distracted from the things that matter most. And we just, Neil Postman once wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And that was written long before, even before the internet. And yeah, I think that's something we're facing today. So if you're, and a lot of people who aren't religious will feel like, look, I'm okay. I've got enough stuff to keep me occupied right now. I just don't see why I need God, really, or why I need religion. So yeah, whether you're an atheist, you're an agnostic, whatever you may be, or if you just believe in God, but you don't really believe in religion, that's great too. Whoever you may be, I'd love for you to call in and we can just ask. I just want to know, why do you think religion's a good thing for not for you? Do you think it's a bad thing? Like it's really bad for the world? Would you be better off without religion? Let's chat. Feel free to call in.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. There's also an intellectual – I think of a person like Woody Allen who in all his comedy and everything, he's obsessed with death. And yet he does not accept religion as far as I know. I mean maybe in the last 10 minutes he has, but publicly at least doesn't accept religion. And it seems like Woody Allen has genuine intellectual obstacles, so that's out there too.
Like absolutely.
People who want to or would be.
Oh, absolutely. There are people who when they're proposed various religious truths, whether it's truths about God or just about the Christian faith or Catholicism, say, well, I have a hard time believing that, or this doesn't make sense, or what about this? I know many people who are not religious because they sat down to read the Bible, and the Bible didn't make sense to them, so they conclude this religion thing is just bunk, basically. And I wrote a whole book on the Bible and these difficult sayings called Hard Sayings, The Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. So I'm familiar with these difficult passages people come across, and I would say it's the wrong direction to go to just throw the baby out with the baptismal water. With the bathwater. Mm-hmm. Instead, we can understand these difficulties. So yeah, some people are not religious because there's a truth or a problem they see or an objection they can't overcome to religion in general or a specific religion like Christianity. I'm happy to talk with them about that and hopefully walk them through whatever objections they might have.
Again, why are you not religious is our question. And if you are not a religious person and you'd like to discuss it with us, we would love that. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884 for us Catholics and maybe for other people all around the world. Today is a big day. Today we celebrate the Solemnity, which is a fancy word, fancy kind of feast. So the Feast of the Annunciation. And can I quiz you? Do you know what the Annunciation is?
I do. Yes, I do know what the Annunciation is.
Okay.
Are you going to ask me?
Yep. Trent Horn, what is the Annunciation?
It's the Annunciation.
And why do we celebrate it?
Oh, my goodness. I think we have to go to our break. No.
Give me time to look that one up.
The Solemnity of the Annunciation celebrates and this ties into our topic very well about religion, because a lot of people think religion is your way to get to God. But we believe that religion is God's way to get to us, mm-hmm. primarily. God has come to us, and the Annunciation celebrates when God became man, when the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive in her womb a Savior, Emmanuel. God is with us, that Jesus Christ would be born and was conceived and became man within the womb of the Virgin Mary. In fact, I've had the privilege of going to Nazareth to the Basilica of the Annunciation, to the site over the cave where traditionally this is believed to have happened. And over that cave, there's a Latin inscription, and it says, Hic verbum caro factum est. The word became flesh here.
Wow. Wow.
It's very powerful, because we speak in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, Jesus is the eternal Word. But later, a few verses later, John says, and then the Word became flesh. He literally tabernacled or built a tent among us, that God became man in order to raise us up to eternal life. And that is an essential element of the Christian religion. And so if you're not religious, this is a good day to talk about the incarnation, about Jesus, whatever views you might have. You can ask me questions, too, if you have questions about the Catholic faith. I'm more than happy to answer those as well.
Why are you not religious? 888-318-7884. Hey, the store-wide spring sale continues. All of Trent's books on sale, along with the brand-new book from Don Eden, Jimmy Akin's brand-new book, everything there. You get 15% off if you just use the promo code SPRING19 when you check out at shop.catholic.com.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Trent Horn, our guest, both hours. Trent, the author of Answering Atheism and Why We're Catholic and Persuasive Pro-Life and a whole bunch of other books. If you're not a religious person and you'd like to tell us why you are not religious, we're not hiding the fact that we are both Catholic and we take that view. But we'd love to have a respectful conversation with you about why you are not religious. 888-318-7884. Christine, you are up first. Why are you not religious, Christine?
Hello there. I am in relationship with Jesus Christ. So
praise God.
Religion, he doesn't call to us being religion. He calls us, Jesus calls us to please be in relationship with him. He loves us.
Okay.
I was homeless for
go ahead.
A long time, actually. I don't know how long. I don't know. But I do know that I was in hospital for 2 months. And hold on. I got to open my door to really look at my car. I had a Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
And the Toyota Corolla was actually, my dad helped me. Because even when I got the Corolla, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I really don't want to get into another car payment. He's like, Christine, what do you want to pay a month? So I was like, if it's up to me, I'd pay $200 a month. He goes, fine, do $200 a month and I'll pay the difference.
Christine, let's try to bring it back here a bit. I'm glad to see that Jesus is an important part of your life and you love Jesus, but I'm not sure what you mean, though, when you say, so you have a relationship with Jesus, but you don't believe in being religious. What do you think religion is?
I don't really know. That's kind of a stumbling block in this world, actually. It's a lot of people, religious people, are all about getting what they want in their what they think they want. And even scripture says to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you have a hard time trusting people, but you trust the Bible.
I trust Jesus Christ. You know what? Even my car, when I had to get rid of my Corolla.
Okay.
When I was literally in the basement, the Corolla, I had to get rid of it. He told me to get rid of the Corolla. Now I have a RAV4.
Wait, Tristan, do you mean Jesus told you to do that?
Yes.
When did he tell you to do that?
Hold on. When I was homeless, I was living in a basement.
Okay.
And hold on, I literally drive the car. Hold on. I'm going to go to it and I'm going to take the picture of it. Can I even send it to you?
No, that's okay.
I trust you on that, that's where you're going with that. So I appreciate your zeal and the love for Christ that you have. I'm not familiar too much, though, with Jesus's preference for certain automobiles or things like that. But I think that when you said that you love Jesus, and I asked, you know, well, why do you love him? Or, you know, how do you know him? You at least trust the Bible. Because otherwise, how do we know? Because I mean, for a lot of people, they want to know who Jesus is. They're going to go to Scripture. But then we have to ask a bigger question, which is, well, why do we trust Scripture at all? Who put Scripture together? How do we know we're interpreting Scripture correctly? St. Peter tells us in his second letter that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. And he also says that there are things in Scripture people can misunderstand to their own destruction. So Jesus, in fact, never left us a Bible. He left us a church. And so I believe that that is a way for us to come to know him on a truly deep and intimate level. And so I would definitely recommend for you to go and visit our website at Catholic.com, where you can see more articles we have about who Jesus is and the church that he gave us. So thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Christine. We got to move on, however. I hope that was helpful. 888-318-7884 is the number. Trent Horn is our guest, and we're asking you a question today. Why are you not religious? Let's go to Jonathan up next. Jonathan, why are you not religious?
Hey guys, I am religious. I'm Catholic, but mm-hmm. I'm struggling with my faith every day because of the scandals of the church, and they become more illuminating or more incriminating with time. So it goes from money to deviancy to moving people around and lying, things like that. I'm just struggling with it. And I'll leave it at that, guys.
Well, wait, Jonathan. I don't want you to leave. I'd like to chat with you for a sec. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, Jonathan, I agree with you. I'm struggling a lot too. I get sad. I struggle between getting sad about people that have been hurt by Catholics, including clerics, bishops, cardinals, who have betrayed Jesus. I mean, these people are supposed to be, in Latin, they're in persona Christi. When they celebrate Mass or they're in the confession, they stand in the person of Christ. I more want to say some of these people are in persona Judas-y. You know, they're not being Christ. They're not being Christ to us. They're being Judas to us. And that makes me sad. It makes me angry. It makes me want to ask, you know, why God? Why would you stick us with these people? You know, and so I feel where you're coming from, and I totally understand how you would feel dejected. However, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? And sometimes what helps me is to think that, you know, Scripture says that we're all called to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that at the end of our lives, we're going to go and we're going to appear there, and God's going to ask, I gave you my grace, I've given you the gospel, what did you do with this? And to me, I couldn't imagine telling God, well, I didn't do anything with it, or I left it, and he'll say, why? You know, I'll stand there, and here will be the Lord himself in all his majestic glory, and all of my sin will just be so laid out right in front of him. The only thing I have to show him is him, his grace he gave me. I definitely don't want to, the thing, Jonathan, I don't want to do in that situation is to say, well, look what these other people did. You know, point my finger over there, because he's going to point his finger back to me and say, yeah, but what did you do? That's a position I don't want to be in, where I'm just pointing the finger at somebody else about why I didn't follow Jesus. So that's a situation I wouldn't want to be in. What do you think? And so instead, I want to still be faithful to God, to Jesus, even if other people have really dropped the ball on this one. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that makes sense because we're all going to come face to face with God and have to give an account.
Right.
It's just...
So I guess what he's going to ask you, and you and I can brainstorm through this, what did you do? Now, the you here, of course, is singular, you, my friend Jonathan, and it's also a plural, includes me, it includes Psych Hellet, everybody listening. What did you do? So, you know, I mean, we could even just brainstorm here. What can we do? Well, every day we can pray for the victims of abuse, for their wounds to be healed, and we can pray for a renewal of holiness within the church. And we can go to Mass and offer this up for people. And then I think the next thing we can do is to be unashamedly Catholic, to say, I'm going to ride through the storm. This is the ship God gave me to ride through on the storm. I'm not going to jump ship. But I am going to say, I think it was Ronald Knox who once said that if you love the bark of Peter, that's a reference to the church. Because Jesus once sat and preached in Peter's boat. Bark is a word for ship. Don't look in the engine room because, you know, there's always going to be ugly stuff. We're all human beings. We all fail. The question is, are we going to be merciful to one another, pray for our recovery, and then hold each other accountable to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to write a letter to my bishop and say, what are you doing in this diocese to make sure abuse does not happen? How are you being held accountable? And I would recommend you, Jonathan, I don't know which diocese you're in, but, you know, ask your bishop or cardinal, what are you doing? And at the very least, if they drop the ball and they just ignore you, at least you can say to God, you know, I prayed, I was faithful. And I asked and demanded for other people to be faithful too. And I think that's, you know, at the end of the day, all we can do, we can't control other people. We can only control ourselves. I'm going on and on, but what do you think?
I think that you're absolutely right. And I just think that I wish the church wasn't suffering, but, and then also think of Jesus' response, get away from me, Satan, that it's going to go through some suffering.
I'm not saying that's
clandestine or any
right,
any kind of nonsense like that, but it does give me some purpose and some direction.
Right. So I would just hold fast when you're seeing that things are rough, just to know, look, at the end of the day, the only soul you can directly save is your own. I mean, just imagine the devil's trickery to think, imagine just the devil's glee at the idea that he can tempt some people into sin and then get other people like you or me to sin just because we're sad and angry at other people sinning. I mean, that's a double bonus for him, to think that he can ensnare us in the sin of despair and to give up our faith because he's managed to deceive other people into committing these gross evils. I don't want to give him that satisfaction, and I hope that you won't either. Just remember that Jesus promised to be with the church to the end of the ages. And that the church, while there's going to be people who are going to fail, we all fail because we're all sinners. And some people are going to fail in spectacularly bad ways. We, giving up the faith, giving up Jesus, giving up the Eucharist is a spectacularly bad way to fail in this life. I don't want to do that. I will pray that you don't do that. So I hope that you will continue to go to Mass and to go to confession, especially if you're feeling far away from the church. Will you do that for me, Jonathan?
Amen. I will do that.
I appreciate that.
Well, praise God.
Sir.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thanks for calling.
Why are you not religious is our question for you today. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Let us go to Saul in Eatontown, New Jersey. Saul, why are you not religious?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay, the question that you have is, why I'm not religious? And my answer to that is, I come from a country, South America, Colombia. Mm-hmm. At the moment you are born in Colombia, they throw you a soccer ball and a Bible. By the time you are 7 years old, you know the Bible in and out. And that was great because the whole country is Catholic. Mm-hmm. We celebrate everything.
Yeah.
Next 2 weeks is the Holy Week.
Right.
So the reason I'm not religious is that when I left Colombia and I came to America when I was 18, I continued my search for God, for mm-hmm. the Almighty, for yeah. supreme power. But then I started to see, I tried many, many churches, the Jehovah's, the Jewish, the Orthodox, the Evangelical, the, yeah. the Indians, everything.
Saul, sorry to interrupt you, Saul, but you're going to have to wait until after the break to bring this all to a conclusion and tell us why you are not religious. Appreciate the list. Trent Horn is our guest. Can you stay till through the break, Trent?
I'll be around for a bit.
888-318-7884 is our number. Why are you not religious? If you're not religious, today's your day. 888-318-7884.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you feel your life is in balance? We're discussing keeping everything in balance on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest. And both hours today, we are asking you, why are you not religious? We welcome your call. If it's because you are an atheist, we'd love to talk with you about that. Maybe you just can't decide which religion seems truest or whether one of them is true. That's fine as well. Any reason at all. You're just not interested. That would be loved. We'd love to talk with you about that. 888-318-7884 is the number. We were talking to Saul before the break, and sadly, Saul departed. And I did not do this, Trent. I wanted to hear the end of the story because he tried out Judaism. He tried out Orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. He tried out everything.
Yeah.
But then we never got to what happened. So, Saul, will you just call back?
Better call Saul.
I can't call.
We don't have his number.
We don't have his number. Saul's number. No.
No.
Again, 888-31.
Yeah, and maybe we may have other people who will call and have this kind of opinion. And I've known people who felt this way. I know Catholics who grew up in kind of a homeschool environment or grew up in more environment where they weren't aware of other religions, or they were aware of them but not very well. And then they go to college or they go out into the world and suddenly they see all of these different faith traditions. And hold to the view like, oh, there are all these different religions. How could I say they're wrong and I'm right? And Saul was saying, you know, that they're all good. I mean, all of these are all different ways people come to know God. And the problem here is that you can't say that all religions are basically the same. Like, well, how are they good? Now, some people will say, well, they're good in that they teach you very, very basic ethical truths, like love your neighbor as yourself.
They don't all.
Well, yes, yeah, some don't, but many do share the golden rule and principles of charity. Not all do, but many do. And then, of course, but here's the thing. Many non-religious people hold to these ethical principles. So there it's like, well, why is religion a good thing when there are many atheists who also believe in the golden rule? That to say that all religions are the same is kind of like saying all sports are the same, because all sports involve movement and accruing points.
I never heard this analogy. I like it. Yes, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah,
but it doesn't follow that just because all sports have something very common at a very basic level, that they're all the same, or that if you show up to a badminton game with a baseball bat, you're going to be just fine. It's completely different. So we can then say, well, aren't some religions, even if they all contain good and true elements, which is what the Catholic Church teaches, all religions contain true and holy elements. Are there some that contain more than others? For example, like who Jesus is. So if you love Jesus, if you grew up like Saul did with Jesus, the Bible, and a soccer ball, and you know you love Jesus, are you going to abandon Jesus for a non-Christian religion? You're going to want to. A Christian religion is going to give you a much better way to come to know our Lord, because you're going to come to know who he really is. So, and that's not arrogant to say that some religions contain more truth than others. It's just a reflection of reality, because they all describe different things. For example, you can't say all religions are right because they teach contradictory things. Like, let's take death, for example. If you say everybody's right about death, then that means when you die, you go to heaven, you go to hell, you go to purgatory, you get reincarnated, and you fade into nothingness.
That is a very busy afterlife, only for a little while, though.
Right. You can't do all of those at the same time.
No, right.
So clearly, someone has got it right, and others do not. And we need to figure that out. And so we can go through the evidence to see, has God revealed himself to humanity? And how should we respond to him, that being the essence of what religion is?
Again, Saul, we'd love to talk with you if you want to give a call back. 888-318-7884. The number, why are you not religious, is the question of the hour. I really like the sports analogy there. I really like it.
Yeah, I think that can help people to see. It also helps when people say, you know, I'm not a fan of religion because of all these bad people in it. Well, there's cheaters.
Bad people in sports.
There's cheaters and crazy right. fans in sports. Doesn't mean you're going to give up on sports.
I am not sure, however, if ice dancing is a sport or if it's just dancing. I don't
want to tie us up, to me, it's hard for me to say something's a sport unless there's direct competition. Otherwise, it's a performance art.
Really? You know what? I still love it either way. Ice dancing.
We'll keep working
it's
on that.
Magic of the Olympics.
Keep working on that triple axel side.
There's no triple axel in ice dancing.
That's figure skating.
That's figure skating.
Oh,
yeah.
Ice.
Can't do a triple axel.
That's even further removed.
That's
ice
what I'm
dancing.
Saying. Michael, you're next. Why are you not religious?
Sure thing.
I'm not religious because being religious means holding on to things that are traditional, that may or may not have anything to do exactly with Christ. There are some people, you know, churches and things of that nature who hold on to traditionalism and don't allow for there to be any growth.
Can you,
you know, with times?
Well, Michael, can you give me an example of what you're referring to?
Well, I personally, I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm African American. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic. I actually at one point considered the priesthood. And at age 18, I came into this point, this crossroads where as a musician, I had to either accept my Catholic upbringing as far as music is concerned, and just remain in that and being, you know, with it being strict in that nature? Or do I go somewhere else where I have the freedom to express myself as an African-American Catholic? Mm. And that led to many different roads as far as with expression, you know.
So, let me follow. I want to make sure we're following you here to continue on. You were raised Catholic. You thought about becoming a priest, but you couldn't find a Catholic church where you felt like you could express yourself liturgically or musically as how you identify as African-American?
Exactly.
What did you want to do that they weren't okay with?
Well, the expression, say gospel music.
Okay.
Okay, which was heavily frowned upon. When my Latino brothers and sisters came here to America and they wanted to have, you know, their services, they can express it in the way that they have always expressed it, you know. And the church, the Catholic Church, made ways for that. They changed, in many cases, many services switched over to all Spanish-speaking and things of that nature. A lot of things were, and I'm just not just using that as an example, but as far as African-Americans, that has never been. That has never been. It's always been frowned upon. And I left the Catholic Church after, well, I'll give you a brief thing. I was a part of a ministry under a priest, and he believed in having an Afrocentric expression, which was great. However, the church frowned upon the aspect of having, you know, that as an expression. And it baffles me, because if we're all supposed to be...
Well, Michael, hold on a minute. There's different things I'd want to clarify here. The church does not have one uniform style of worship within its various rites. I mean, there are churches in Africa where Africans celebrate the liturgy according to a extremely Afrocentric cultural style. Now, that may not have been adopted as much here in the United States. And part of that is, I think, due to an unfortunate situation in demographics, in that there are many fewer African-Americans who belong to the Catholic Church here in the United States versus other churches. So I guess for me, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes here, because I would understand how frustrated you'd be if you'd say, hey, my heritage is really important. Why isn't anyone in the church celebrating my heritage, or why can't they be allowed? I mean, I'd be frustrated by that, too. In fact, I love living here in San Diego. There are Eastern churches where people of Middle Eastern heritage have found a home in the Maronite Church. There's a Byzantine liturgy my wife and I attend. So I can see your frustration. But what I don't get, and maybe you can correct me, is it seems like it's going really far in the other direction to completely say, well, I'm not going to be religious. Because you could just go and be part of another, like a charismatic Catholic community, like part of the charismatic Catholics. Or at the very least, why not just attend a Baptist church that has a gospel tradition? Why just be non-religious?
Well, good point. There were also, you know, questions that I had concerning things like heaven and hell and purgatory. And the main thing that I kept getting told by priests was, that's just a mystery of our faith. No, everything is not a mystery of our faith.
Yeah, that can be a kick the can up the road. You're not really feel like comfortable answering the question. Because for me, I would say that if there's something with liturgy that you're not happy with, that is, like, especially if at one time you wanted to become a priest, to me, I wouldn't be able to understand how someone would want to be a priest, that the most sacred thing a priest does is he consecrates the bread and wine at Mass and holds in his very hands our Savior, his body and blood, in his hands. And to not choose to not be able to do that, or to not ever receive that again, even as a layperson, because of a disagreement over liturgy. And now I have been to some bad liturgies, let me tell you. And sometimes I got to hold my nose for hymns that sound like 80s TV jingles. They're bad. But I know it's still Jesus up there, so that gets me through it. So from there, then, yeah, I would have to see. It would make sense now what you say. There's going to be deeper questions. So if you'd like to stick with us, because I'm really enjoying talking with you, I'd love to tackle maybe just one question you had about heaven, hell, purgatory, something that just stuck in your brain, like, hey, and they didn't give you a good answer. You got anything on your mind, you know, that was bothering you about those subjects?
that was bothering me concerning heaven and hell and purgatory?
Yeah, just the biggest thing pops in your head.
The biggest thing. For me, the biggest thing has been the issue of priests being able to marry.
Oh,
that's one of the bigger ones.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's why we are seeing the issues that we're seeing now, is that there's a lot of suppressed issues, and if you're not,
are you talking about abuse? The issues, you mean, like abuse and sexual abuse?
I'm talking about the abuse, but not necessarily in that context, because you have some priests who actually married and left the church and came back. And, you know, basically you're treated as if there's something that is inherently wrong with you. And I don't believe that. I believe that, and we're doing things. Some things are done based on finances, I believe, because it was not always that way that priests could not marry.
No, and that's a lot more that we could get into, and we're running up on a break here. But I will say that celibacy is a tradition in the church, but it is a tradition that does go back to apostolic times. St. Paul talked about the joys of celibacy. He wished others could be celibate just like he was in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and that a priest is able, by choosing to not marry, he chooses to make his vocation first and foremost and solely to serve the body of Christ. Now, as I said, I attend right now my wife and I have just recently attended an Eastern Rite church where priests are allowed to marry. And so it's a tradition, it's a discipline, it's not a doctrine. But for many of my friends I know who are celibate priests, they really show the world. The reason they dress in black is they're dead to the world. They're dead to the world. And celibacy is a beautiful reminder to the world that sex is not a need like food or water. That sex is something beautiful God gave us, and we control it. It does not control us. We do not have to engage in it because we're all wild up and we're controlled by these biological urges. We use this gift that God has given us either in the sacrament of matrimony to bring forth new immortal souls, or a priest represents as a true and authentic man to be able to serve and be a spiritual father to those in his flock, to be a healthy, well-balanced individual who is able to serve everyone in this way and chooses to take the church just like Christ did. Remember I said earlier, a priest stands in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. Christ never married. He was celibate. He took the church as his bride. And faithful priests still imitate that today. And I think it's a beautiful witness for all of us. And I would definitely recommend you check out our website at Catholic.com for more articles we have on priestly celibacy.
Michael, thank you very, very much. Trent is right. We got to go to a break. I just want you to know, Michael, on Friday, the first hour, our show is going to be on a topic we have not covered before. It's called the Catholic Church and Identity Politics. And we're not trying to do that in a pejorative way. It's going to be try to understand things. And so if you want to give a call back first hour Friday, that would be the same hour just on Friday. And I think you can contribute to that conversation. I hope you will. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to do our very best to get to you. If you haven't called yet and you are not a religious person and you'd like to share with us why you are not religious, 888-318-7884. I found out the number, Trent. Now more than 185,000 copies in print. A fantastic book to give out at Easter time. You can get copies for $10 a piece when you buy five or more, or $3 a piece when you buy a case of 20. What am I talking about? I am talking about Trent's super best-selling Catholic book, Why We're Catholic. It's now available for the first time as an audiobook at audible.com. The reader, kind of a mediocre. I mean, I was okay, the reader, but
I will accept whatever critiques, criticism.
Oh, I thought you were going to have some kind of snappy comeback, but then you went all humble on me.
Well, you know, 185,000 Why We're Catholic purchasers can't be wrong, right? Along with those 50 million Elvis fans.
That is right. The Audible version, how long do you think it is?
It's about 5 hours, I
believe. 5 hours of high-quality Catholic content presented in a way that is relatable and not abstract and obtuse and difficult.
Well, I appreciate that the book came out that way, even though other people may consider me difficult and obtuse sometimes.
I find you personally – well, okay. We'll be right back right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you religious? Well, we want you to be. In the proper sense of the word religious, we'd love it if you were. But if you're not, we'd love to just talk with you about it. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn, our guest this hour. Trent, author of many things, including, I'm going to go with Answering Atheism. That's the most pertinent one to this hour. And Why We're Catholic. Also pertinent to this hour. And we confess it. We're both Catholic. We both believe and hold everything that the Catholic Church believes and holds. At least I can say that for me. You?
Certainly so. You except do? What the Catholic Church teaches and proposes for us to believe.
I can't say I always do what the Catholic Church says to do. I've failed in charity quite a bit. But I say I believe it, but I got a lot to work on, Trent.
Well, one can believe things. There's what Jesus himself said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Many of us believe things that are true, and we don't act upon it because our wills are not strong enough. So,
that's a good point.
You know, most of us believe, I'm sure if you ask people, do you believe that if you eat a healthy diet and you exercise, you will live a long and healthy life? Most people say, well, yeah, I definitely believe that. Okay, well, do you do that?
Oh, that's a good point.
We believe these things, but the question is, when will our belief be valuable enough to us that it will be converted into our will?
Yeah.
And that's why we need God's grace, because our wills alone, apart from his grace, are incapable of reaching him. We don't want to when we're trapped in sin. But when God gives us his grace, it gives us the ability to cooperate with him, to accept his grace, and to continue to cooperate with it, to be able to do spiritual good works, to persevere in the virtues of faith, hope, and love.
Praise God.
Indeed.
I like the way you tell that story, Trent Horn. Let's go to John.
Sure.
In a mystery location. John, why are you not religious?
I don't know. I think maybe what I believe might not be, like you said, proper or orthodox. Maybe it's unorthodox, my belief.
Can you express it to us by talking directly into the phone? If you're, we'd love to hear your belief, but I'm having trouble hearing it. Go ahead, John.
Is that better?
Oh, that's better, yeah.
That's much better. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I always thought to myself, the first four commandments that God gave us deals with not worshiping other images, not worshiping idols.
Right.
Only to worship God.
Yep.
But yet you refer to Jesus as God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted you to elaborate on that.
Sure. Well, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, at that time, God is always in a process of revealing himself to us. It's part of a progressive revelation that you can look at the children of God, the people of God, that how they come to understand who God is, that develops over time. We are God's children. I have two kids of my own. What you teach them about yourself and about the world, it develops as they're better able to receive that truth. So God, what we know from the fullness of his revelation now is that God is not one person. God is a trinity of three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fully divine and fully eternal, co-equal with one another. Now, however, when God first revealed himself to the ancient Israelites, there were clues, you know, that God is more than one person, but he did not want them to fall into the trap of their pagan neighbors, which would be to worship idols, to worship animals, or to worship man, creatures. God wanted the people of Israel, his people, to worship the Creator, Yahweh, God alone. But then, when the time was right, as Galatians tells us, God became man. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to fully reveal who God is, to reveal him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what we believe is that Jesus is God the Son, fully human and fully divine, and that's attested to in the New Testament. So are you, let's see here, John, are you familiar with where the New Testament, you know, the Bible teaches that? Go ahead.
I actually think that God is more than a Trinity. God is everything. We're all a piece of him.
Why do you think
everything
that?
Everything together is God.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, John. Did God make the world?
Be God like myself, or I can be the devil. Me too. In other words, God is the support of a trajectory, as well as, like I said, it's a direction, but it's everything.
Well, John, I think we might be a bit muddled in our thinking here. So what we mean by God, I mean the infinite, all-knowing, eternal, like God exists outside of time and space. God is infinite perfection. So God made the world. God existed without the world before he made it. So do you believe that God made the world?
It could happen, but even in the most worst thing that could happen, it still serves God.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're going to be able to continue in this conversation down the path where I think we could have a meeting of the minds here, that if you don't understand who God is, you won't understand who Jesus is. So to say God is everything would be pantheism. That is the belief that pan is Greek word for all, theism, you know, belief in God, that God just is everything. God made everything, but that doesn't mean he is everything. It's like if I make a house, it doesn't mean I am the house. I made it. Now, some people confuse this and they think that if God made everything, that God is just kind of in everything like a gas, like that God is just
suffused.
Because we say like, well, God is everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, but you don't want to take that too far. We say God is immanent or omnipresent. What that means is that God sustains all of existence. He keeps it real and he knows what happens and he can affect it. But that doesn't mean he is that thing, because God made everything. If he was that thing, he'd be creating himself, which is a contradiction. So if we believe that God exists and he made everything, then we look to the Bible and see, what does it say about our Creator? How has he revealed himself to us? And what I would have shared with John, good name, I would go to the Gospel of John, that the very beginning and end give us a good bookend on that. John 1:1. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word,
right.
Jesus, we talked about the Annunciation, dwelled, became flesh. We start there, that's John's testimony. And then we have Jesus' own thoughts at the very end when Thomas says to our Lord, my Lord and my God, Jesus doesn't correct him in John 20:28. So to me, I would just go back to the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles he chose. And it seems very clear that in the New Testament, it teaches that Jesus is Yahweh, is the full revelation that whoever has seen Jesus has seen the Father. You know, you've seen God. God has become man.
John, thanks very much. Appreciate the call. Our topic, both hours today, why are you not religious? If you are not religious, whether you've given up on it or you never embraced it, whether it's for intellectual or emotional or spiritual reasons that you are not religious, we welcome your call. 888-318-7884 is the number. Got a few folks on the line, and I don't want you to go anywhere. We are going to get to you right as soon as we get back from the break. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn is our guest, and his book is on sale. The big book is on sale. That book is Why We're Catholic, and you can get it at shop.catholic.com. Actually, everything at shop.catholic.com is on sale right now, 15% off. Use the promo code SPRING 19 at checkout and get your 15% savings on everything. 888-318-7884. We're waiting for your call.